that the church was called, or called a pastor, to be the driver. Now, you're the driver of your own bus in your personal life, so am I, so is Stacy, and God, of course, is the driver over everything. But you have called a pastor here to drive us in a certain direction, to be the bus driver. Second rule was that desire, vision, and focus moves our bus in the right direction. So we have desire, vision, and focus. We're gonna kind of read that responsively in a little bit here. And then we talked about the responsibility of passengers. If you don't remember what those are, I don't have time to review all those, but and it's not an exhaustive list. They're posted over here. You can go read those, which, by the way, once this whole thing is done, we'll take those down, we'll copy them, and if anybody wants to have like a little booklet put together for them of what we have talked about over the weeks, you can certainly have that. So keep that in mind as well. So we talked about those responsibilities. So if you should decide to hop on board the bus, we will all hold each other accountable for everything that we're learning in here, including the responsibilities of the passengers, the responsibilities of the bus driver. So if you need to know what those are again, check out the wall. And you can also get a couple DVDs from the tech crew if you need some past messages and stuff like that. You can also listen to them on our website as well. Well, today we're going to look at rule number three. But before we do that, I want to share with you a story as quickly as I can from the Nehemiah Leadership Conference, which I was at out in Newark, and then we drive somewhere into Pennsylvania, about an hour, hour and a half into Pennsylvania there. And so I just got back, but about nine of us flew into New York, and in the planning months before, I had offered, somebody asked, well, would you be the driver? Because last year, we had a lot of snow and ice, and people aren't familiar with that, and I'm figuring, well, okay, Minnesota boy, I can go ahead, I can drive on some ice. So I said, okay, we'll do that. Well, we got our rental, we got it at the Newark airport, a beautiful new van. Wonderful. Now, I drove one, Jay Kennedy. Some of you know Jay. He drove the other one. And I was the lead driver. And as the van bus driver, of course, I had to be responsible for the passengers. Their safety is my first and foremost thing. I opened the van door in the lot, and I asked, where are the keys? Well, there is no key. There's a fob. What's a fob? Right? I only know what a key is. I climb in and the thing's like a spaceship. There's knobs and things all over the place, and I had no clue how to start this van. There's no key, there's nothing there. And one guy said, well, look for the button that says start and press that. So I press, nothing's happening. You have to step on the brake first. Well, okay, finally I get it started, gets fired up. I was trying to remain positive, yet I was secretly grumbling, I want my old car. I don't want this new stuff. Joan Friesen, you all know Joan Friesen, she was standing on the driver's side of the door. I got the car started, and she requested that I pull Starship Enterprise forward because they couldn't get in the back end to put their luggage. So I grabbed the shifter to go into drive. It wasn't the shifter. It was the windshield wiper and the wash. And Joan got sprayed all over. She's screaming. Everybody in the van is just laughing and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, man, I am in trouble. Well, we laughed. You know, we had a good time. Then once I got it into gear, we started going. But here's the deal. Now you have to have the directions, right? So she fires up her GPS. There's another guy by the name of Dave who's sitting right behind her. He fires up his GPS. Those two gals on the GPS are talking at different times. Turn here, turn there. Joan's trying to tell me where to turn. Dave's trying to tell me where to turn. And I am freaking out. I'm in Newark. It's not like I'm driving in Lebanon. This is Newark. Well, we ended up going the wrong way. We ended up on the emergency vehicle lane, and I thought, man, we're going to get a ticket. But here's the deal. This is what happens when a bus driver doesn't know the directions and doesn't listen to just one co-pilot. You had everybody. Remember we talked about that. Everybody's trying to give you directions, trying to get you to someplace, and you're freaking out as the driver. I wasn't prepared. Now, we did have a crew of wonderful passengers who were very loving and loved to laugh and giggle at all my mistakes and everything like that. But this all brings us to our third, which, by the way, when we came back, everything was fine getting to the airport. But when we came back, our flight was canceled Thursday. So we had to be back here for the marriage retreat by Friday. And others, another guy had a funeral and stuff like that. There were no flights. So what do? We rented a van. This time, a 12-passenger van, 9 of us pastors on board. And fortunately, I didn't have to drive, but it was the same thing for Jay. Jay was the main driver, and 20,000 people were trying to get him back to the airport here in Indianapolis. So when we got off, we said, boy, lots of good sermon illustrations about driving a bus. Well, okay, so it brings us to our third rule for the bus, driving on the bus. Fuel the ride with positive energy. Now, on your bulletin, you just have blank lines and stuff like that. In the back, if you don't catch everything, there's a whole bunch of sheets that has a whole filled-in outline for you if you want to take that with you. So fuel the ride with positive energy. So imagine if everyone in that van that I rode on or I drove or Jay drove, or even one person in that van was grumpy or a griper, or a complainer, or when will we ever get home? Well, what kept us from getting uptight? Well, we were excited about the conference. We were excited about being together. We loved each other, and that kept us on the road with a smile, even though all the mistakes and different things happened. Positive energy. Now, I happen to believe that positive energy comes from Jesus Christ. If you're going to be positive, I can't make that up. It's got to come from the Lord in some way, shape, or form. But I believe it comes through the Holy Spirit, and that's what gave Thomas and Peter and Paul and others the guts to speak truth in love. And sometimes it was painful, but it was still, the messages were always positive. It's important for us to understand the cost of negativity. I'm going to just really fly through these. Here's the cost of negativity. Some of these I've shared before. Negativity costs the U.S. economy between $250 and $300 billion a year in lost productivity. What does it cost the church is what I want to ask. How many times has the church as a whole gone through so many struggles and this and that just because we gripe and we complain or we're negative? What does it cost in finance, in broken relationships, in staleness, in mediocrity, in the lack of the Spirit? What does it cost us? 90% of doctor visits are stress-related. One cause of office stress is coworkers and their complaining. Wow. One study found that negative employees can scare off every customer they speak to for good. They'll never come back. Negativity affects the morale, performance, and productivity of teams. We know that. One negative person can create a miserable office environment for everyone else. Now, that's office stuff. What about the church? Same thing. Negativity is associated with decreased lifespan, increased risk of stroke, greater stress, less energy, more pain, fewer friends, less success. And I love the marriage statistic. And we were at the marriage retreat. It was so funny because I wrote this before we went to the marriage retreat. We must have all been reading the same stat. Marriages are much more likely to succeed when the couple experiences a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions. Whereas when the ratio approaches 1-to-1, marriages are more likely to end in divorce. So we were taught the other day, right? You guys that were there, remember? We were taught, if you blow it, you gotta, you know, put five positive things in the cup, you know, in the bank to offset the one negative thing. So most negativity, we've learned before, it stems from fear, and fear believes in a negative future. Fear believes in a negative future, but faith believes in a positive future. Yeah, we're going to heaven. And there can be a brighter tomorrow here on this earth if you live in Christ and are filled with His Spirit. So faith brings out the positive. Faith in Christ brings out the super positive, I believe, because He has the victory. I love the word somebody put on the poster. Miss Bev chose this word for her word, fearless. Faith is some pretty positive, high-octane fuel. But negative energy does nothing but clog the exhaust system. Do you know that? That's what it does. And it causes failure. So we want our bus to be fueled efficiently, running with positive energy, running by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a few biblical examples. I'm going to use these guys, or I use these guys all the time because they're a couple of my favorites. You all know the stories, so I'm not going to read the full stories for you. They're found in the book of Daniel. They are great mentors. And even though they reside in heaven today, they still mentor us. Why? Because we have their stories right here in the Word of God. So turn with me if you want to take a look at Daniel chapter 3. You know this story. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's verse 8 and kind of going through verse 30. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was in power at the time. And then you remember, you guys, they had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were the leaders kind of there for the kingdom and doing some wonderful things. But there were some astrologers who were having some problems with these guys. You know, they wanted them locked up because they're losing power. They're the negative guys over here, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're having a great time. They're praising God. They're doing things. And God's kind of moving them up the ladder in the kingdom. Well, so Nebuchadnezzar makes this rule or this law that you have to do this or that. And they couldn't worship their God. Well, if you jump down to verse 13, they did not bow down when they were supposed to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 13 says, chapter 3 says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, he gives them the opportunity. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Well, isn't it great? Their response, positive, right? They know they're going to be thrown in the fire. That may sound negative, but they have a positive response to what the king says, positive towards their God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, well, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, that means even if we're going to burn to death, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Isn't that cool? That's such a positive response. They could sit there and argue back and forth, and nah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the one true God, and we're willing to be thrown in the fire. Sounds painful, doesn't it? But the end result was very positive, wasn't it? So thrown into the fire. He sees four. King Nebuchadnezzar sees four of them, you know, one that looks like the son of man or an angel, and they're taken out, right? And then the astrologers are the ones that got the king to make the order. Uh-oh, they're in big trouble. Positive step. Then the next one comes in, same book, Daniel chapter 6. And there's Mr. Daniel, and now we have Darius, a king there. And he goes, 120 satraps say, hey, we don't like Daniel. This guy's the very negative people, but this Daniel guy, he's just, you know, he smiles too much. He's too positive. He's climbing the ladder. He's in the king's pocket, whatever it is, right? And so he's kind of moving up the ladder, and then what happens? They say, well, king, we need you to make an edict that, hey, if somebody bows down and prays, like Daniel always does, or whatever, however that happened, okay, what's going to happen? If we find out, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And so we'll pick it up in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees, he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. And so they went to the king, they spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" Well, the king had no choice. All these negative thoughts and negative ideas thrown into the king's head and these satraps and folks, and what happens? Daniel makes a positive response. He stays positive. He stays loving his God. He prays. He gets down on his knees and he prays. And what happens? He's thrown, you know the story, right? He's thrown in the den. King comes out and he goes, "Oh, hey, wow, that's cool. You're alive. Come on out." Everybody else that wanted Daniel thrown into the lion's den, they're dead. Negativity does not bring good results. Does not bring good results. You know, when you read these true stories, or at least when I read them, I can feel the positive energy of faith these guys had. And they were kind of like Bev's word, fearless, because God was in their hearts. Now, many other biblical characters as well are like that, like Ruth and Esther, the disciples. You know, once these folks really, and especially the disciples, once they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came in the room and fell on them and stuff like that, that was key to their life of going out and being a positive influence for Jesus Christ and bringing people to Jesus. But I have to tell you, the positive energy, as we talk about the energy bus, the positive energy has to start with the bus driver. So if I'm not positive, this is not a good thing. So what do I need from you? I need you to hold me accountable as a driver. Believe it or not, I am prone to be negative and complain. Now, not always. Most of you know me as kind of an up guy. But it's up to you to know when I'm driving in the wrong direction, or I'm driving off the road into negative territory. At the same time, I and your staff need to hold you accountable in the way you act. So there's an action plan I would love for us to try. And remember, 27 days, they say, about 27 days, could be longer in a row. It can make something a habit. So what we want to do is starve out negativity. Remember Philippians, right? Think on what's pure and holy. All those wonderful things. Think on those things. So what we want to do is starve out the negativity, fill up our tanks with positive energy. We need a lot of good positive fuel. So here's the plan. Now, it may not be written up. Oh, look at that. She's got it up there for me. Thank you. Turn off the cable news. Now, you don't have to stop watching all the news. We've talked about that before, but turn off the CNN, the Fox, all this stuff that gets you angered, because that's what it does. It's designed to do that. Now, I want you to know what's going on in the world. I want you to know that there are Christians being persecuted. There are other people being persecuted. There are things that are going on in our country that are just immoral and wrong, and we can discuss those things. But you don't have to keep constantly reading about them and walking around in negativity, because we have Jesus Christ. So, I'm telling you, though, since I stopped that, you know that, it's changed my life. And it has helped me to love others who don't have my views. I find myself praying more for the government and for the world and for other people. I have a very hard time praying for people that are doing things constantly that go against the grain of God. Number two, don't participate in gossip. It's an easy one. Walk away. As soon as it happens, see ya, I'm out of here. Bye. Start with gratitude. Number three, even when you have a critique or a complaint, start it off with gratitude. Read Paul's epistles. Read the letters to the churches and how he always starts them off. It's always nice stuff. And he's saying really good things. Then he brings up these subjects. Okay, guys, you're screwing it up right here. And then more often than not, when he ends them, he ends on this high note. Come on, guys. We can do this. So start with gratitude. But with every critique, here's something we can all learn. With every critique, because most critiques are pretty negative. But with every critique, offer up 7 words of encouragement. I dare you to try that. Boy, Dave, you're a lousy driver. But you smile all the time. You tell jokes. They're bad, but they're jokes nonetheless. You know, so do some of that stuff. Number 4, tell positive stories. When you're telling a story, you know, it depends on how. I love that from marriage, too. We learned that in marriage just yesterday. You can tell that this one guy can tell whether marriages are going to stay together or not just by the story they tell of their marriage and how their marriage started and what's going on. This guy can tell in 15 minutes, okay, these guys aren't going to make it because of how they share their story and what their story means to them. So tell positive stories. Work on replacing your fear with faith. Become fearless and faithful. Fearless and faithful. And number 6, see those who are negative. If you have some negative folks, see those who are negative as teachers who help you to be positive. Right? So I would look at it like my father. My father, he wasn't negative. He was a pretty positive guy, optimistic guy. But he smoked all the time. Chain smoker. That was a negative. Negative, 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 negative. Heart attack, everything else going on. So what do my brothers and sisters and I? No smoking. We don't want it. We don't want to deal with it. So we saw him in that light as a teacher. Dad's teaching us by his life habits not to do the same thing. And he would even tell us, don't do this. I'm stuck. Don't do this. Choose to speak positive words. Number 7. That's always nice. Smile. You saw that little film clip, the Coke commercial, what laughter and smiling can do. And then read the book of Acts with an eye on the movement of the Holy Spirit and the results of moving forward in faith with the energy of God. With the energy of God. Now, we're on this bus together. Tim told us this morning about the jail ministry. You realize the jail ministry is already on the bus. When I first started here, we would call it the jail ministry. We would go once a year around Christmas time. And it was good. You got to share your story. They heard some Bible studies and they got to interact. They never got to know any of us. Now we have somebody going there once or twice a week and knowing these guys, and some of these folks are coming to our church today. That's the energy bus. That's being on the energy bus. I'm going to close with a letter I got. You know how I am. Thank you. Now I'm not. You challenged me. She goes, you're going to cry. All right. So here's the deal. We got a letter in the mail that's sent to the church family, dear church family. Challenge. I'm so blessed to be a part of a church. Now, I want you to understand, this is what the energy bus does. This is what the energy bus does. I'm so blessed to be part of the church that is so supportive and encouraging. I receive a letter almost daily from my church family. I know it sounds silly, but a letter there or a letter here means the world. It's our only contact with the outside. Even though I'm not there, I still carry the church's creed, even when I am here, knowing him and making him known. I've come to basic training trying to keep my head down and just get through. But God always has a different plan. I have been promoted to a leadership position. Many of the guys call me Grandpa, because I'm older, 24, most of them are 18. I was able to get a good group of them to start coming to church Sunday. There are so many guys here who come from such rough neighborhoods, and many of them haven't even been to church. One airman and I read the Bible together every single night. He's never even opened a Bible before in his life. Thank you so much for the continued encouragement. That wasn't addressed to us. That was addressed to you. That's the energy bus. You have blessed me because the way you brought up our son from eighth grade until now. That's the church training, teaching, equipping people to meet the needs of others. That's energy. That's positive energy. Thank you. We're going to close with our final song this morning. And before we do that, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are so good to us. You have really given us the coolest bus on earth to ride together as a family. Personally, I want to thank you for that family, because they have instilled in our kids and many other kids throughout the years your love, your fearlessness, your ambition, your drive, your positivity that leads people to that moment of truth with you. We thank you that we can know you and know you even more as we ride this bus together. Would you give each person an extra dose of your spirit today as we leave this place? Help us to love others, to smile at others. But more than anything, Lord, help us to always, always remember, we say it every week, to seek you first and your kingdom, because everything else will be added. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who may not know you this morning. I pray that they will come to know you and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I open the door to you. I believe in your death and resurrection. You are my Savior and my God. Enter in. Again, thank you for this time together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me and sing. Jesus is tenderly calling.